Good day, everyone. I hope you have a wonderful day. We continue where we left off. We are on the top of page 15a, the first chapter of Messiah Shnai Mechzin. We dedicate this class to our brothers and sisters, the Holy Land, especially those who are on the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. May all the hostages return home safely. The families, Lila Nishmas, Abdav Nachum, Rav Moshe, for Shlema, for Peril Bas Miriam. So yesterday we learned the Brais explaining the Mishnah that if a person stole the field, And then the field is taken away from him. So when he comes to collect, he can collect the principal from even property that was sold to others. He can take it away from the buyer. But when he comes to collect for the fruits, he cannot. He can only collect if there's free fields, not from anything that was sold. So Gemara asked, "What do you mean? Well, what do you mean it comes to collect? Who's coming to collect exactly? The thief stole the field, so he returns it to the owner. What's he collecting? He's a ganav. He stole. There's nothing here to collect. He has to return what he stole." So we have two answers. Rav answered that it's talking about that he stole a piece of property. He stole a field from his friend. It was filled with fruits. And not only stole the field, he ate the fruits. All the yield of the field he ate and consumed. Then he can't just return the property. Because the property, what he did was he destroyed the property. He dug pits, he ruined the property. So who's coming to collect? Not the thief is coming to collect. The owner needs to collect. Because the owner is not giving back the same property that he stole. The property that he stole was in good shape, plus it had fruits. So not only do you have to pay for all the fruits that he ate, he also has to pay for the ruined field. So for the principal, for the ruined field, that the owner could collect, if the thief doesn't have anything to pay with, he doesn't have any free properties, he sold all his properties, he can go and collect the principal from the properties that were sold, from the buyers, extracted from the buyers to pay for his field, which comes before, because he sold the properties after he did the damage, versus the fruit. For the fruits, there was an enactment of the rabbis that they can only collect if the thief has free properties. He can't go and collect from the mortgageable property. That's how Rav explained it. Rav Rabbuna explained it, that we're talking about bandits stole the property from the thief because of him. They wouldn't have stolen it from the owner. But now that the thief stole the property from the owner, they were able to steal it from him. And therefore, the owner comes to collect. He comes to collect for the property because it was stolen from him. Now I can't get it back. You can't return the property. Bandits took it. Because of you, they took it. Not they would have taken it either way. No, if it was in my possession, if you wouldn't have stolen it, they wouldn't have touched it. Because you had it, they took it. Now I can't take it out, take it away from them. So you have to pay me for the property itself. So for the property itself, that he can collect. Even if the thief doesn't have anything to pay with, well, he sold all of his properties, he can go and collect from the properties that he sold. Because they were mortgaged for this debt, so to speak. But for the fruits that he ate, that he can only collect only if the thief has free property. Now the Gemara says, the third line from the top 15 days, I did not want to explain the Braisa like Rabba did, because it says it, the language of the Braisa is, and it leaves the hands of the thief. So it appears to be Bedina Mash, that it leaves the hands of a thief, that by law, in other words, they went to court and the owner reclaimed his property. Not like Rav Ravuna says that it left the hands of the thief because other bandits came and stole it from him. But Rav Ravuna didn't want to explain the Braisa like Rav, because it says, it says, and the property, which means be'ina, as is, the property as is, when he stole it, now returns and is restored back to the owner. According to Rava's explanation, he ruined the property. He's not returning the property as is. He says, no, you're right. When it says, it means both things. It means that it goes out because the court says that the thief has to return the property to its proper owner. And it means the property as is restored back to the proper owner. So how do you explain then the Braisa. So he says both ways. It could go in, for example, Shagazal Sadam Mechavirim Leperes. The thief stole a property that was full of fruits. Vachal Zaperes, and he ate the fruits. So not only does he have to give back the property, he has to give back the fruits. Vachal Zaperes. And then he sells the property. So who comes to collect? So then the property as is returned back to the owner. Nothing changed. The property was not ruined. And the court says that the property has to be restored to its proper owner. But who comes to collect then? What's there to collect? Well, why does the owner collect? There's nothing to collect. He got back his property intact. So what's he coming to collect? So he says, it's referring to the buyer, the lekeach, the buyer from the thief. He comes to collect ligwis keren, so ligwis keren, the principal, kaimachas mushabadim. Then he collects from, he can even collect from, if the thief sold all of his property, he can go to the buyer and remove and extract the property from them to pay back for, to repay for what he paid. But nigzal, if the owner comes ligwis keren to collect the fruits, again, he can only collect from the thief. He can only collect if he has free property. The Gemara asks, why, both according to Rav and according to Rabbi Ravuna, why in the world should the owner be able to go and collect from mortgageable properties? It's like a loan. There's no document, undocumented loan. Like he stole money from him, so he owes him money, and he ruined the property. Or because of him, it was taken away by goyim, by bandits. So he owes him, it's like he owes him money, he owes him a debt. Why in the world a debt that's not this undocumented debt, an oral debt, you can't go and collect. It's not, your property is not mortgageable. So why could the owner go and collect from the mortgageable property that was sold, that the thief sold to others? So he might answer, we're talking about over here, within. Thought it was a court case. And the court said, the court decided that he has to pay, the thief has to pay. And then he sold it. So the court, this is like documented, this is already established, there's a voice, everyone knows about it. So therefore, the buyer, whoever purchased the property after the court, after the sentencing of the court, and they bought the property, there's a void, they could have done their due diligence, and everyone knows, it's no secret. And therefore, it's their responsibility, they understood that could be taken away from them. So then if the court decided, and it was already the sentence, that the thief has to pay not only for the property, but also for the fruits, so why can't the owner go and collect from the mortgageable properties and the properties that were sold? Why can't they extract from the buyer not only for the principal value of the property, but also for the fruits that the thief ate? So you might answer, we're talking about a case. The court only, the verdict was only on the principle. The court did not decide on the fruits. Why should we be talking about such a strange case? If the court is already deciding, shouldn't they decide on everything? So you might answer, stomach the milsa, because this is the normal way of things. First, you want to get back your principle. First things first. First, let me get back my principle. I shouldn't lose my principle. And then we can talk about the profits. So first he got the sentence on the principal. So at least he guarantees he's getting back the principal. Then it's a separate court case. Okay, now I want all the fruits that the thief stole from me and ate. Now the Gemara asks, Sabr Shmuel, the Kerem Gazan, Lesli Shvacha, Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, that if someone buys from a thief, even if he made a stipulation when he sold it, when the thief sold it, pretending to be a seller, pretending to have the right to sell it, pretending that it's his to sell. And he promised the buyer that I take all full responsibility. Anything that happens, if it's taken away from you, I will make you whole. I will return your money. And not only that, any appreciation is also yours. And Nachman said, Shmuel, that's not a fact. It doesn't matter. Even if he made a stipulation, he cannot collect, the buyer cannot collect the appreciation from the thief, because since he had nothing to sell, there was nothing there to sell. The whole thing was bogus. The whole thing was a fiction, was fake. So therefore, it's basically like he gave him a loan. He gave him money. And now he's asking more than the principal amount in return, that the principal plus the appreciation. That's like, looks like ribis, looks like interest. Looks like biblical interest, and therefore it's not allowed. So Gemara asks, indeed Shmuel holds that? How could you say that? Vamle Shmuel Rav Chinam Rashilas. Shmuel himself says Rav Chinam Rashilas, Amlech Uksev Shufra Shvacha Peri. That you have to ask. You have to ask when someone buys, if there's a loan, you don't have to write. Even if you don't write that all the properties are mortgageable to pay the loan, all the borrowers of the properties are mortgageable to pay the loan, the lender could collect and all the properties are mortgageable. And if the borrower sold property to anyone else after the date of the loan, after the time of the loan, the lender can go and collect it from the mortgageable properties, kick out the buyer, and take the property in lieu of payment. But in a case of a sale, where the seller sells to the buyer, so then you have to make sure, you have to ask him if he wants to include, if he wants to commit that if it's taken away for whatever reason, the properties will be taken away from the buyer, that he is responsible not only for the principal to get his money back, but the buyer will get his money back, but he also is responsible for shufra, any appreciation of the property, shavacha, peri, and any fruits. He's going to pay him from the best of his properties, from shufra, the best of his properties, and shavacha, any appreciation of peri. Okay, now let's examine. B'mai, who is taking the property away from the borrower? If a lender comes along and is seeking payment from the borrower, and the borrower can't pay him, he has nothing to pay him with, and then he goes and collects the payment from the buyer, he can't collect fruits. There's no fruits to collect. He can't take from the fruits. The lender could collect the value of the property and the appreciation if that's what covers the loan, but not the fruits. The fruits, the ripe fruits that the buyer gets to keep. So he can't be talking about a case where the buyer, the lender comes and collects the property from the buyer. And he says over here, fruits, he can collect the fruits, and the seller is committed to repay the buyer and for the fruits that were taken away from him. A lender doesn't collect the fruits. Ela lav, surely we're talking about b'lekeach mikazlin, we must be talking about a case. The only other case is if someone buys from a thief. He thought it's a legitimate purchase. Then it turns out the whole thing was bogus. So now he comes to collect. So not only does he come to collect, he comes to collect the fruits, but he says also he collects also the appreciation from the thief. The thief is responsible not only to pay him back the money that he laid out for the property, but because he thought the whole bogus the sale was a genuine sale, he invested his time, his sweat, his equity into the field. He improved it, appreciated it. So he has to collect that. The thief is responsible for that. So not like Shmuel said that you can't collect appreciation. And Shmuel himself says you collect appreciation. So it's a contradiction. We're talking about that the thief has property. He's not paying him cash. So since he has property, so therefore, it doesn't look like ribis. Ribis is, I gave you $100, I paid you cash for the property, and now you're giving me back $150, the 100 plus the 50 for the appreciation. That has the appearance of ribis, because it's a loan. There was no sale here. The whole thing was a fiction. So it's like I lend you money, and now you're returning back to me the money, the principal plus. So it's like pure ribis, pure interest. But here, he's not paying him with price. He's giving him a piece of property. So therefore, you can't easily detect. It's not obvious that he's ribis. In fact, the Gemara Amalei Abayas. Abayas said to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef's student said to Rabbi Yosef, "You're telling me that in a case like ribis, that the rabbis say you're not allowed to borrow a saw, a measure of grain." And you promise to pay back the same measure of grain, because what if it appreciates in value? So he's getting back something that's worth a lot more. You know, if he sells the grain, he's getting back a lot more than the actual loan, what it was worth at the time. So you're going to tell me that if he pays back the loan, if the borrower pays back the loan with a piece of property instead of giving a bushel of wheat, of grain, you're going to say it's okay? Because it's not obvious that he's paying back anymore? With the little subs of Moshe Karka, Amalei, how could you compare? Rabbi Yosef answered that by you. Hosam over there, halva. There, it's a loan. So So it's a loan, therefore, it's obvious, it doesn't matter what form he's paying back, whether in cash or whether in a bushel of wheat or whatever, of grain, or whether he's paying him back property, in property, he's not allowed to. Because he's paying back something that could be worth more. But Hachazvini, here it was a sale. We're comparing it to a loan because it turns out the whole thing was a fiction. So therefore, theoretically, it turns out they're like a loan. It's only theoretically. It was a sale. There was no loan here. And he's giving him back. He's paying with property. So therefore, it's so tenuous, the connection to all, it's very abstract, the connection to the similarity to to an interest loan. You get the same Rabbi Yosef, we're talking about that at the moment of sale, he already promised. He made a kinyan. He made a commitment with an acquisition like that he's promising to pay for the appreciation. So therefore, he promised before, right at the outset, like he promised to pay him more. At the time of the sale, there was no loan, it was a sale. So, and that's when he committed. Amalei Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, "Mutl do v'sav v'sav makom shekonam miyad?" You're going to tell me in a case where he borrows a specific amount of a bushel of wheat and he's going to return back a bushel of wheat? If he commits and he's going to pay, he commits to pay no matter, even if it appreciates in value, it's okay. What's the difference? It's compared. It's similar to the ribbis, and the rabbis say you're not allowed to. Amalei, he said to him, "Hasam avoch." There, it's a loan. Since it's a loan. So therefore, it doesn't help that he commits. The bottom line is, you're committing to pay back more than you borrowed. Here, the whole thing was never a loan. It was a sale. It turns out, because it was a fictitious sale, so it turns out that it's similar to a loan. So therefore, since he made that commitment right at the outset, therefore, it's okay. The Gemara goes, let's quote what Amr Shmuel, which Paul said, Baal Chayv gave us a shvach. That the lender could collect from the mortgageable property, he can collect to pay his debt, not only the principal, but also the appreciation. I'll prove to you. Because this is the language of the loan document, the sale document, where the seller writes and guarantees to the buyer, I will rise up, I will silence any protest of voices who come to take the property away from you, I will clean it up. Yamrik Zvini Ilan will completely clean it up. Yamrik it Bamalayan Vishvishvichayan. I will do everything in my power to make sure that you keep the property, and if not, and all the work that you put in and all the appreciation, Ekum Kadamach, but Savi Zvini Dinan, I will establish it in your, that it should remain with you. And if it was taken away from you, Kabbalah, I accept upon myself responsibility. I will make you good for everything, for the principal and for the appreciation that was taken away from you. So we see clearly that the fact that the seller is taking responsibility for any appreciation that will be taken away from him, that the lender could take it away, will take it away in payment of his loan. Exactly as Shmuel said, according to you, if someone gives a gift, so the giver of the gift doesn't write this in the gift document. So he never took upon himself to take the to pay for the appreciation if the gift is taken away. You're going to tell me that in this case, the lender cannot collect the appreciation if he takes away the property from the giftee, from the receiver of the gift, in payment of his loan. He can only take the property itself and not the appreciation. Amalei, so Rava responded, that's correct. Does it make sense that here he was given a gift and he didn't invest anything, he didn't pay anything? I'm saying he didn't pay anything for it. It was a pure gift. And you're saying in that case, the lender cannot collect. He can only collect his loan from the property itself, but not from the appreciation. Appreciated value of the property, versus in the case of a sale, he could also collect and take away from the buyer even the appreciated property, everything. Amalei, yes, it is much better. And the reason is because since in the case of a sale. So since if this lender will take the property and all the appreciation, the buyer can collect it from the seller, so he'll be made whole. So it's fine. So he didn't lose anything. But in the case of a gift, the receiver of the gift can't go back and collect the appreciated value that was lost, that was taken away from him. If it's going to be taken away from him by the lender, he can't go and collect, make good on it and collect it from the one who gave him the gift. So therefore, he tells the lender, you had it. What was mortgaged to you was the property, not the appreciation that I invested with my sweat and toil. That belongs to me. Amrav Nachman said, another proof to Shmuel, I'll bring you another b'raisa to support Shmuel, that the lender can collect not only the payment of his debt, not only the loan, not only the principal, but also the appreciation. My friend, he explains the b'raisa differently. Tanya, we learn the b'raisa. If someone sells a field to his friend and he takes responsibility and he mortgages all his property, if anything happens, he will make good the buyer. And then it's taken away from the buyer. The lender comes and takes it away from him in payment of a loan to the seller. When the buyer comes to collect from the seller the value of the property, the money that he laid out for the property and for the appreciation, for the principal, he can collect. If the seller doesn't have any free property to pay him with, he can collect from any property that he sold, because that's all mortgageable to him, to make him whole for the loss. But the shvach, for the appreciation, he can only collect if the seller has free property. He can't collect from the mortgageable property. So we see clearly that the lender takes everything away. He takes everything from the buyer. Not only the property itself, the principal, he also takes all the appreciated value on the field. Says it's not a proof. He explains the b'raisa differently. He explains the b'raisa v'lekeach mikazlan. We're not talking about the lenders coming and taking the property away from the buyer. We're talking about the owners taking away from the buyer, because the seller had no right to sell it. He stole the land, the property, and he sold it. So in that case, of course, he collects, in this case, the owner takes everything away from the buyer, even the appreciated value. He says, it's my land that you improved. Very nice of you. Thank you. But it's my land and it belongs to me. It's not like a loan. The loan, he has no connection to the appreciation. It's a property that was mortgaged to him, not the appreciation. But here, the owner of the property, whose property was stolen from him and it was sold illegally, he says, I'm sorry, it was my property. It always remained my property and you appreciated my property. So of course, everything belongs to me, the property as well as the appreciation. In the case of a loan, it doesn't prove anything, doesn't prove Shmuel's point. Tanya, we learn another b'raisa. If someone sells a field to his friend, and the buyer improves the property, and the lender of the seller comes, extracts the property from the buyer in lieu of payment for the loan that he lent to the seller. When the buyer comes to collect the money from the seller, and he can collect the appreciation of the value of the property that was taken from him. If the value was worth more, the appreciation was worth more than the investment that he invested to appreciate the value, so then he can collect the appreciation from the seller who sold it to him. Because this part was not committed to pay for the lender. This is, he improved the value of the property. This wasn't the property that was mortgaged. Property was mortgaged is one thing. He improved the value of the property, and the lender went and took everything from him. So that he can go back to the seller and say, give me back They appreciated my proper, my appreciation, which had nothing, which wasn't mortgageable to the lender. I used my appreciation, which belonged to me. I bought the property and I appreciated it. And I appreciated its value. And you took my appreciation, my property, my value to pay for your loan. That you have to pay me back for that. But I see, but the money that he laid out, that he takes from Balchay, that he can demand from the lender. Because really, the lender shouldn't take any appreciation. Because the property that was committed and mortgaged to him was the property in its original state. So if I invested, and because of this investment, so any amount of appreciation that appreciated because of the investment, equal to the amount of the investment, that's on the lender. I gave you, you were able to be paid back, I gave you more than was mortgaged to you, than was coming to you. So that you owe me. But in addition to that, the money that you took was appreciated even more than the amount of investment I put in. It's worth a lot more than the amount that I invested. That, he goes back to the seller. He says, it's your loan. I paid him with my property, my appreciation. I basically paid your loan. This wasn't mortgaged. So that you can collect from the seller. What if he's a shlemazel? He invested, and the appreciation didn't equal the amount that was invested. It was worth less. Ein loy ella hitzar shir shavach mibalchay. If he spent more and the appreciation wasn't worth the amount that he invested, it was worth less. So that he only collects from the lender only the amount that he invested. That's all, because it did appreciate the amount that he invested. He only appreciates only the amount that it appreciated. So that appreciation he can collect from the lender. In that case, he doesn't take anything from the. So that appreciation that he collects from the lender, the principal he gets from the seller, but the borrower, but the appreciation he gets from the lender. Okay, that's the braisa. So the Gemara says, or Shmuel, what my book allow? How is Shmuel going to explain the braisa? So how is Shmuel going to explain the braisa? If you're going to say he's talking about Ibelekech Megazlin, that the seller was a thief, he had no right to sell it, and the owner comes and takes everything away, he takes his property with all the appreciation, Kasher Eisha. Then it's difficult. Shmuel said, Lekech Megazlin, less the Shvacha. He says, if you take from, then how can he say that the appreciation that was worth more than the investment that he goes and collects from the seller? Shmuel says you're not allowed to collect from the seller. Shmuel says you're not allowed to collect from the seller because it appears like interest. Viva Balcha, even if you're going to say it's talking about the lender collects the property from the buyer, then the Kasher Reisha was saved, then the whole Braisa doesn't make sense, not the beginning and not the end. Damashuk Shmuel says, Balchev gave us a Shvach. What do you mean? It said that the lender collects everything. So why should he pay for the money that he invested? It belongs to him. Everything goes to the lender. He takes back the field. It was mortgaged to him, and he also collects everything, even the improvement of the field. So the Gemara gives a few answers. It's really talking about that he bought from a thief. Nevertheless, but he was talking about a case where the seller is paying him back with property, not paying him with money. Like we said earlier, if he's paying back with property and not with money, then it's a very far-fetched, tenuous connection, the similarity to loaning with interest. And then he could collect from the seller also the appreciation, for the appreciation that was taken away from him. Inami, or if you want, I'll tell you, it was Kalumiyode. He also said that's an exception. If you're right, at the beginning, when he made the sale, he committed he's going to pay for all the appreciation. So it was part of a sale and a commitment that was right up front. So therefore, in this case, it's a very tenuous similarity to a loan. So in that case, he can collect from the seller even not only the property that was taken away from him, from the buyer, but also the appreciation. He boy same, if you want, I'll tell you about it. It's really talking about a case of a loan. But like Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan over here, the Brais is talking about the Shavach, Amagil, it's the fire. We're talking about that the fruits already reached to the shoulders. They're fully grown, and it's already close to being harvested. You just, it needs to wait a little longer. So it can still improve, but it's an improvement that's almost ripe, almost totally ready for harvesting. It's not considered fruit. It was totally ready for harvesting, and it's fruits. But here we're talking about the appreciation. The appreciated is almost ready for harvesting. And therefore, the lender can't just collect these fruits together without paying. You have to pay at least for the outlay that the buyer outlaid to bring the fruits to such a state. Because it's not like, when did we say that he can collect the appreciation if the field appreciates on its own? But it appreciated through your effort, through your work. Therefore, he has to pay for the labor and the effort and the money that was invested. Kan, when did Shmuel say, "Veshashin megaliktefai"? It's very far from being harvested. It needs a long time for yet to ripen. So it's not part of the property. So therefore, I'm saying it's part of the property. So therefore, the lender can collect it, and he doesn't have to pay for anything. But every day, it happens every day in the court, and Shmuel collects. He gives the lender everything. He pays. The lender takes everything, the property, and even if there's the yield already reached the shoulders, and it's very near to fully ripening, it's very near to be harvested. And he collects everything. He doesn't have to pay anything. The lender doesn't have to pay the buyer. Tomorrow, like Kasha, it's not a contradiction. The lender collects everything. So like Kasha, it's not a contradiction. If the amount of the loan, if the amount of the loan is covered by the value of the principal plus depreciation, and he takes everything. He doesn't have to pay for anything. But, oh, when the price says that he has to pay, and he has to pay the amount that it was invested, that he doesn't owe that much. He only owes the amount of the value of the property itself, and the appreciation is extra. So even though he takes that, so now he collects the land and he takes with it all these fruits, all these this improvement, this appreciation, that he has to pay for. But he doesn't pay, he only pays for the amount he laid out. The Yovile Shvachim Masalik. So really, he should only pay him the amount, what he owes. And the lender should allow the buyer to keep shvache. So he has to pay him, but he lay out for that appreciation, and then he gets to keep. Question is why should he take it away from the buyer? Why shouldn't he keep that portion? Why does he have to give everything away? But anyway, the Gemara is asking anyway. That if a lender comes to collect the property that was mortgaged him in lieu of payment for his loan, so the buyer can't say, "Here, I'll pay you. I want to keep the property." No, because this property is mortgaged. I want to have this property. So shop it. It makes sense. So you can kick him out of the property. I'm keeping the property with the improvement, and I'll pay you for the improvement. El Mandam, according to opinion, that says the lender can't force the property to extract the property out of the buyer. The buyer can say, "I'll pay you the money, I want to keep the property." So if I had enough money, I wouldn't give you anything of the property. I would give you money and I would keep the whole property. Hashalas, I don't have money. So you have to take the whole property, but not everything. But I want to keep Havli Garbadari. Give me a portion of the land, Shir Shvach HaShvachai, a portion of the land that it's equivalent to the improvement. That doesn't belong to you, and that's beyond the debt. Why should I give that to you? But answers off of my skin, you know, we're talking about over here. We're talking about over here in a case where he designated this land. This will be the place where he's going to collect his payment from, specifically this land. So, and according to everyone, even according to the opinion that in general, the buyer can pay him money and keep the property. In this case, he can't. So therefore, he takes the whole property as is with the improvement, and he pays him for the improvement. What if the buyer who buys from the thief knows that it doesn't belong to the seller, that he's a thief? And nevertheless, he buys it from him. Somebody now says, Mois, he can collect the money and get his money back. He can get his money back from the seller. But the Shvach, according to all opinions, even the Rav disagrees with Shmuel in a regular case, when he thinks it's a legitimate sale, and then he could collect from the seller, the thief, he can collect not only the principal, but also all the investments he put in and the appreciation. But in this case, and he disagrees there, he says he could, but in this case he agrees that he can't, because here, clearly he knew the whole thing was a bogus, was a farce. So it's like he lent him money. He never bought anything. He gave him money. So if he's going to pay him back the appreciation, it's like clearly similar to interest. Shmuel argues, says, I feel amazing. He can't even collect anything. He doesn't even get his money back. You threw your money out. You're giving your money to a thief, knowing the whole thing is... You might ask, Mike, what's the root of their argument? What are they arguing? Rav holds, the buyer knows that he's not going to keep the property. He knows it's stolen. So why did he give the money? He's not throwing his money away. He gave it to him as like, hold on the money for me, like a loan. So he can get his money back. Not the appreciation, because that would be like interest. So why doesn't the buyer say Mishum Pekadim? He should have said, I'm giving it. I know the whole thing is a farce, it's a bogus, it's not yours to sell, it's not mine to buy, there's nothing here. You're selling me someone else's property. I didn't buy it, you never sold it. I'm just giving you a loan. Since he didn't say it, means that it wasn't his intent. But it says, rather, Savar, he thought, Le Makabel, he doesn't want money. He doesn't want to watch money from him. So he says, okay, let me go along with your fiction. So I pretend, I'm pretending, I'm buying, you're selling. And meanwhile, you're holding on to the money, and then when the property will be taken away from me, I'll come back for the money. Shmuel, Savar, Shmuel, Hodzor, he knows that it's not going to, the property is not going to remain his. The owner will come and reclaim the property. Why is he giving his money? Why are you giving him money? You know that it's a fake, it's a farce, it's phony. So why are you giving him? You're giving him a gift. Therefore, you can't come and collect it back. You knew what you went into. You know, you gave him money, you're giving him a gift. You got to name a Leil of Shematana, then he should have told him, I'm giving you money as a gift. Since he didn't say it, that means clearly his intent was not for gift. Yes, he knows it was stolen, so he knows it's not a sale. But also, it's not a gift. He doesn't say, I'm giving it to you as a gift. So surely he must be giving it to us because I'm going to hold on to the money and then I'll come and collect it from you. So you might answer, no, really, he meant to give it a gift. He's embarrassed. The seller doesn't want to accept any gifts. So therefore, he says, oh, this is a good way. So I'm giving him money. It's a sale. And meanwhile, it's really a gift. Like the Gemara of a pliga b'chadazim. They already argued this argument already. Itma we learn. If someone betroths his sister, and of course there's no kiddushin, you can't betroth the sister, so the kiddushin, he gives her money. He can ask for his money back from his sister. Because it's not a good kiddushin, so it's invalid. It's illegal and invalid, so you have to give me the money back. Shmuel Amar, Mois, Matana. No, you knew, everyone knows you can't marry his sister. So why do you give her money? You said a kiddushin in jest, but really you meant to give it as a gift, so you can't demand the money back. Rabba Amar, Mois, Chesin, Adimideshin, Kiddushin, Tevson, Vachesin. Everyone knows that it's not a kiddushin. Become of a Nasalushin, because so why am I giving you the money? Hold on to it. Now I want my money back and ask for my money back. Why don't you just
tell her. You didn't tell her it was for Bekadin. You told her it's a Kiddushin. So since you didn't, so you thought maybe for whatever reason you thought that it is valid. Now you find that it's not valid. You have... No, I mean, you should have said, I'm giving you a Bekadin. Since you didn't... No, so everyone knows, and everyone knows that it's not a good Kiddushin. Surely he must have intended to give her as a gift. So he says, he won't want to watch it for me. So that's why I'm giving it to her. Like this, I can come and collect it later. Shmuel Amishul says, Mois Matana, the money is a gift. Everyone knows that it's not a good marriage, it's not a valid marriage. The government not only gave her money because he intended to give her money. But he doesn't tell her I'm giving to her as a gift. He's telling her Shem Kiddushin. So surely his intent was, I want you to hold on to it, and then I'm going to come and collect it later. I know my if I keep the money, it's going to get lost. I guess I'll give it to you, and then when I need it, I'm going to come and get it for you. But really his intent was to give it as a gift. She knows that she won't want to accept any gifts, so he says, I'm marrying you, so she'll take the money, and really his intent is a gift. So why do you have to repeat the same arguments, the same logic, in the case of Kiddushin, and in the case if you buy from a thief, and knowing that he's a thief, and knowing that it's not his property to sell, he's selling you someone else's property. I need both cases, I wouldn't know one from the other. If they would only tell us their argument. In the case of someone who buys from a thief and he knows he's buying from a thief, I would say, Bahakamarav. Only in this case, Rav said that he's giving to him to hold on to it. Why would I give a gift to strangers? Especially to a thief? Why am I giving a gift to. So surely, that's what Rav says. Surely he's giving it, he should hold on to his money and later on, so he can later on come and collect. Maybe Rav will give it Shmuel. It's a sister. He loves his sister. So surely his intent must have been a gift. And if he would just teach me the argument in the case of the Kiddushin, I would say, only in this case, Shmuel says that surely his intent was a gift because it's a sister. A stranger. Agrees to Rav that he's not giving them as a gift. He's just giving them to hold on to the money. Maybe he doesn't trust himself with the money, so he gives it to the other person to hold on to the money, and later on he'll come and collect. So he has to teach me, no, that Rav and Shmuel are arguing in both cases. Like the Gemara, mainly Rav Dama Pekadim, Shmuel Dama Matana, both the Rav and the Shmuel. It's difficult. Whether he intended to give a gift, when he intended just that the other person hold the money for him. How could he go into this property knowing that it's stolen property? How could he eat the fruits? And you're saying he has to pay for the fruits, he has to pay for the improvement. He's a thief. You know, you're going into someone else's property. You're trespassing. You're stealing. So obviously, you must say if he's going down to the property and he's eating, and he's living there and he's occupying the property that he purchased, the field that he purchased. Surely, he must think that it's a legitimate sale. So the Gemara answers, no, he knows that it's a stolen property, and he knows that the owner is going to come and reclaim his property. Nevertheless, he's eating the fruits. Why? Because Savar, he thinks, that I am going into the property, and I'm going to work the property, and I'm going to eat the fruits, just like the thief, exactly what the thief is doing. When the owner of the property will come to reclaim his property, Zuzin Nevi. I'll have my money. I'll take back my money, whether it's like a pikadon, like Rav says, in the hands of the seller, the thief, or whether it's a gift. It says no. He knows that the property will be taken away from him. He's not making a mistake. He knows that the person has no right to sell. But he says temporarily, until he comes and claims it, just like the thief is in the property, I'm also in the property. Until the owner comes. And I'm not losing anything. Why am I not losing anything? Because whatever money I paid for, I'm going to get it back. I'm going to get it back from the seller, from the thief. Either because I'm just leaving him money, he should watch it for me, meanwhile, or according to Rav, so he can take back his money. And according to Shmuel, he's giving the money as a gift. So he's giving the money, his intent is, I'm giving the money as a gift to the seller, to the thief. And according to Shmuel, and meanwhile, I'll enjoy the property until the owner comes and claims it. Rav says, Hilchas of the law is that if someone buys a field from his friend and it turns out it's stolen property, he didn't know it was stolen property, and the owner comes and reclaims his property, so the buyer can collect from the seller, from the thief, Yeshle Mois, not only does he get his money back, but Yeshle Shvach, he also collect even the appreciation. And we don't, it's not like ribis, because it wasn't ribis, it wasn't a loan, I thought it was a legitimate sale. And even if he doesn't spell out, the seller never spelled out that he's taking responsibility for the appreciation. Nevertheless, he has to pay because of this false assumption that I put in all the sweat and toil and effort and spend all this money to improving. So of course you have to pay. He kiboshena shaloi. And what if he knows it's not his? He was initially, you know, the buyer knew the whole thing was a bogus, was a farce, that it was never the thief to sell it, the luck, and he bought it. Mois yeshle shvach inlay. He can get back the money, just because he never intended to give it to him as a gift, just to watch it temporarily. But shvach inlay, but the shvach he can't give him, because here it's clearly like a loan. Why are you giving him money? This was clearly, I'm just giving you money. I'm not buying anything. There's no purchase. There's no legal. There's no fiction. The whole thing is a fiction. And you knew that the whole thing is a fiction. So therefore, if the seller will pay back also for the appreciation, it's like ribis. It's like I lend you 100 and you give me back 150. Because achrayis toy sefer. And if it's not written in the document, also we asked earlier, the halach is achrayis toy sefer. In all cases, in all documents, not only in the cases of a loan, that if you don't write in that all the properties of the borrower are mortgaged to prepay the loan to the lender, which there makes sense, because otherwise why would the lender give money, throw out his money for nothing? Even in a case of mekach u'memkin, in a case of a sale, where you can say a person will take his chances, he gets benefit, meanwhile he can go down to the property, he can start enjoying the property, getting something out of the property, who knows if he'll ever be collected, if he'll ever be taken. Nevertheless, even in this case, we say that the seller takes responsibility and he has to make good and he has to pay for all the appreciation of the property. Not only the principal, also for the appreciation, even if it's not written explicitly in the document. The mother says, "Boy, minei Shmuel, Rav. Shmuel asked from Rav, inquired from Rav. What if Chazav Elakam Bailam Rishen? The thief stole the property, sells it to the buyer, and then the thief goes and buys it from the owner. Mao, what's the din? Who keeps the property? Could the thief said, I bought it, now give it to me, because I bought it legitimately? Amalei, so Rav says, no, he cannot extract it from the buyer. Because he sold him all of his privileges, all of his rights. So now that he went and bought the property legitimately from the owner, so he bought it in. So now the buyer gets to keep the property. My time, what's the reasoning of Rahab? Maybe he bought it for himself. How do I know I bought it so that the buyer can keep the property? He says, because he bought it. I don't want that. Everyone should call me a gazlan. If I sold it to him, I wanted to make it legitimate. At the time, the sale was not legitimate. So I went out of my way to purchase it so it should remain in the hands of the buyer to be a legitimate sale. So that the owner can take the property away from the buyer. Rav Ashi says, Nichle deleke b'mnus. Because he wants to be honest, you know, I'm a man of my word. I sold you a property, so I want to keep my word. You know, it might be nice. What's the difference in these two reasons? If the buyer dies, after the thief bought it, purchased it from the proper owner, the buyer from the thief dies. Now the thief demands the property back from the children. of the buyer. So man, he doesn't want to be called a gazlan, doesn't want to be a thief. Hamislev, the buyer died. No one's going to call him a thief. Who? How dare you? You sold me a stolen property. The guy who can accuse him is no longer here. So therefore, if he bought the property, he bought it for himself. A person wants to be like honest in his dealings. That I promised you the field, so I want to make sure that it's a legitimate sale. So even for the children, he also, my word is a word. I sold it. It's yours to keep, and your children and your estate forever and ever. So that's why he went out of his way and bought the property. Even according to the first reason, the children know that the father bought stolen property, and the proof is that later on the seller went out and bought it. So they're going to call him a thief. So either way, you should say that that the children should keep it. The difference between them is the Ms. Gazlin, the thief died. After he bought the property from the owner, he died. He shouldn't be called a Gazlin. It's too late. He's dead already. He doesn't care what you call him after his death. So therefore, surely he bought the property. Properly for himself and for his children. A person wants to keep his word. Even when he's dead, he wants that when what he promised, since when he sold the property to the buyer, he made a promise, he wants to keep his word at that time. So therefore, he went out of his way and bought the property to make sure that the sale should be legitimate. Like the mother, save, cuddle, nay, big, as long as. At the end of the day, even after he dies, they're going to call his children the sons of a ganef. So he doesn't want his children to be called the sons of a ganef. Ella, rather, he could be nayu. The difference between these two reasoning is the avmatana. If the thief gives the property as a gift, he never sold it. He wants to keep his word. My word is a word. So it doesn't matter if I sell it to someone, if I give it to someone, I give it. My gift is a gift. My word is a word. That's why I bought it, to make sure you should keep the gift. He doesn't want to be called a thief. What did I steal from you? I bought the property. I'm taking it from you. I gave it to you as a gift. I was never mine to give to you. I didn't steal anything from you. The whole thing was a gift. You didn't pay a dime for it. So in that case, he bought it for himself and for his children. But in the case if he sold it, then he's a gift. What do you mean? I laid out money, and you sold me something that's not yours to sell. So that's why he goes out of the way to buy it in order to that the sale. That's the halacha. The halacha is that he buys it in order to keep his word, and therefore, whether it's a sale or whether he gives it as a gift, the gift remains in the hand of the one who received the gift. And of course, the sale remains in the hand. The property remains in the hands of one who bought it. Everyone have a wonderful